But we can understand from all of these biographies that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he came directly from the spiritual world to fulfill the mission that was begun by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years earlier. He was the son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. At that time, when he was born in Jagannath Puri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kedarnath Datta, he was the deputy magistrate of Puri, and deputy magistrate also meant that he was superintendent of the Jagannath temple. So he held a very high position, and therefore his family was held in much respect. When the Rath Yatra came just after the birth of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, whose name was Bimal Prasad at that time, his wife was able to take this small baby and go up onto the Rath Yatra cart directly to Lord Jagannath and put the baby at the feet of Lord Jagannath. And at that time, a garland fell from Jagannath onto the baby. There were many auspicious signs of his divinity, even from birth. When he was born, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck, just like a Brahmin thread, and that mark stayed with him on his body his whole life. Though born in a Kayasta family, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at that time there was a Bengal Renaissance, means a rebirth of transcendental knowledge in Bengal to reestablish Gaudiya Vaishnavism as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taught. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very active in this, and he wrote many, many books, songs, and gave many lectures to reestablish Gaudiya Vaishnavism in its pure form. Now, he had prayed to the Lord to please send someone to assist him, and by the grace of Sri Jagannath, this child was born, Bimal Prasad. And from childhood, he was a very gentle child. One time, a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that we heard that Lord Chaitanya, he was quite naughty when he was young. He used to steal the offerings of the young girls and things like that. Was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also like that in his childhood? And Prabhupada said, no, he was such a gentle boy. At the age of only 2-3 years old, you know how children are. They see something they want, they immediately take it. They don't know about the different rules and regulations. So he saw a mango, and he ate that mango. And his father, just lovingly, he told the little boy that that mango was meant for Krishna, and you ate it before it was offered. So this made such a deep impression on Bimal Prasad that for the rest of his life, he never ate another mango. If anyone offered him a mango, he would say, no, I'm an offender, I cannot accept. So this is the type of child he was, so sensitive and so brilliant. At the age of 9, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. So his father wanted to cultivate the wisdom of this child. He sent him to schools in Calcutta, and then eventually his father was transferred to Hooghly, so he was reunited with him. But he took all care that the child had the best education. And in those days, because Calcutta was the English capital of all of Asia, so Calcutta was very dignified, and there was a lot of opportunity for English, for learning English, and for getting a good education. So all advantage was taken by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to educate this child. Now, when he got a little older, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he entered college, which was a Sanskrit college. And aside from his regular studies, he took on the study of Jyotish and Sanskrit and many other teachings outside of the curriculum of the college. At the age of about 21, 22, he had a disagreement with the principal of the college, and he decided he would leave the college. So his father had a very close friend, because in those days, so many Vaishnava kingdoms were there. There were kings who were Vaishnavas, such as in Manipur and Tripura. They were all Vaishnav kingdoms. So the king of Tripura was a close friend of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he invited Bimal Prasad to come to his kingdom and become the secretary and historian of his royal regime. So he transferred then to Tripura, and he had a very comfortable and very successful life there. The king died soon after, and his son assigned him to be the tutor of the princes and gave him full pension for all of his services. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at the age of 25, 26, he had reached the pinnacle of what could be called material success. He was extremely highly learned, and there in Tripura with the royal library, he was able to continue his studies independently, because all types of books were there from all over the world, plus Vedic literatures. He had more than enough money because of his good pension. He had prestige. He was very prominent, even in the Vaishnav community, what to speak of the educational community. But he saw a huge dichotomy in his life. He was studying all the Bhakti Shastras, and he was understanding the perfection of life according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he wasn't living what he was studying. He was living a comfortable, what's called Bhadralok life, the life of a gentleman. So he decided he would give up that life. He would renounce it completely and try to coagulate the two, that the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can actually be lived in the modern age. So his father recommended that now that he's given up his materialistic, it wasn't at all materialistic, but his so-called material life, he should come to Navadvip and take Diksha from a pure ascetic Babaji who was visiting Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time for his lectures. And his name was Gaurkishore Das Babaji. Gaurkishore Das Babaji was not only extremely learned in all Bhakti Shastras, but he was also illiterate. He couldn't read or write. So everything was through Shravanam, through Sadhusang and Shravanam. He had lived here in Vrindavan for many years performing bhajan. And then when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had discovered the original birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided to come back to Navadvip, to Bengal, to live there close to Sri Dhammayapur, the yog pit. So by the good fortune of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was introduced to Gaurkishore Das Babaji, who refused to take any disciples. Now whether he had Pancharatriki Diksha or he had Bhagavad Diksha is not clear. You can read so many different descriptions. But what actually happened was he received Harinam, and Gaurkishore Das Babaji gave him Diksha through by changing his name. His name was then Barshabhanavi Devi Dayata Das. Barshabhanavi Devi is Srimati Radharani, the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, and Daita, that's the lover of Srimati Radharani, that's Krishna. So his name became the servant of Krishna, the beloved of Srimati Radharani. So because he was in Navadvip, and his father was very keen to establish Mayapur, he decided to accept the austerities of his Guru Maharaj, and he took a vow to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 1 billion times. That's about 10 crore. It took him 10 years to complete this vrat. At the end of the vrat, by that time, his father had left the world, and very soon after, his spiritual master also left the world. It was around 1918. Now, because his father, in his preaching, he set up a printing press. So from the age of 12, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was assisting his father in proofreading and in printing. So he learned all about publications. He decided to carry on that work, and he set up a press first in Calcutta, then he moved it to Krishnanagar, closer to Mayapur. But he still felt that he wasn't fully able to fulfill the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Srila Prabhupada gave two slokas spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what inspired Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and what he wanted to accomplish. Prithivite ache jata nagaradigram sarvatra prachar haibe moranam. And the next one was Bharata bhumite manushya janma hoila jar janma sarthaka karikara para upakar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he predicted that his name would be heard in every town and village of the world, not just in India. And he also gave the special instruction that anyone born in India, he should take up this para upakar mission of trying to uplift the ignorant and fallen souls in this age of Kali by giving them the holy name. So these two instructions given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this became the thrust of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's mission. After he had taken Diksha, he went on pilgrimage to the holy places. He spent 1 year in Jagannath Puri, and then he went traveling in South India. And in South India, he saw the dynamic and powerful sampradayas of Sri and Madhva. And he saw that there were sannyasis, and there was prolific preaching, and there were many followers in all the varnashrams. So he was meditating that our Gaudiya Vaishnavism now is covered. He identified five enemies of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The first was the Smarta Brahmins. The Smarta Brahmins, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, Nityananda Prabhu opened up the floodgate of love of Krishna, and he distributed it all over, at least in Bengal. Now, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet, this is when we sing Jayanila Premadana, and all of his associates soon disappeared, this Gaudiya Vaishnavism, love of Krishna, bhakti, became covered. And the most prominent covering was that of the Smarta Brahmins and the Jati Gosais, because they said that they claimed the exclusive hereditary eligibility as priests and gurus of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That meant unless you were a Brahmin and unless you were their disciple, you weren't actually a Vaishnav. The next enemy were the Advaitis. Now at that time, because of the synthesis of English knowledge, which was primarily Christian, and Vedic philosophy, which was a big jumble, some figures rose up in India, and their philosophy was that the ultimate form, the ultimate God is formless, that the ultimate supreme absolute is formless. And therefore, all of this worship that's going on, that's preliminary to the realization of Brahman. So these Advaitis were the second enemies that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had to conquer. The third was the professional Bhagavatam reciters who took the most sacred shastra and used it as a means of living for their family life. And the fourth was the pseudo-Vaishnava Sahajiyas. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, He identified 13 upasampradayas, how the teachings of Lord Chaitanya had been polluted by not following the regulative principles and not preaching the real message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these 13 upasampradayas, beginning with the Smarta Brahmins and the Jati Gosais, had to be defeated through philosophy by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And the last was, surprisingly enough, the Babaji's. Because the Babaji's, although they were chanting Hare Krishna, many of the Babaji's secretly were engaged in erotic and illicit activities. And this had to be exposed. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was such a powerful preacher, so renounced and so full of knowledge, that he took on the mission to defeat all five of these enemies of pure bhakti and Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Now we know that when you want to defeat someone, naturally your opponent, they might become frightened, they might fight back, and they might even hate you. So a Vaishnava, they're not afraid to have enemies because they want to preach the pure philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he decided after the death of his guru and his father that Gaudiya Vaishnavism, just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he wanted to take sannyas, there were no Vaishnav sannyasis. So he took sannyas from Mayavadi Sampradaya, because that's all there was. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, with his vast knowledge, he decided that in order for Gaudiya Vaishnavism to actually flourish as a real sampradaya, then sannyasis were required. Vaishnav sannyasis, not Mayavadi sannyasis. So in a very controversial step, he sat before his Guru Maharaj's picture and he accepted the order of sannyas. At that time he was called Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami. He took the danda, the tree danda, meaning that his mind, body, and words would all be dedicated to the Supreme Lord's service. And he began to preach very strongly throughout Bengal. But just to preach in Bengal wasn't enough, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that all over the world his name would be heard. So he wanted to fulfill that mission. So he decided, now that he was sannyasi, he would take this mission outside of Navadvip. He went to Calcutta. Now the Babaji's, the other name for Calcutta was Kalir Brahmand. That meant the universe of Kali, because they considered that one should never go to Calcutta, because that was where all materialistic activities went on. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so fearless that he transferred his press and his whole mission to Calcutta and set up, he re-registered the sangha that was started by his father, which was called Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sangha. So Vishva, that means the aim was to make it universal, not just within Bengal. So this Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sangha was re-established and registered in Calcutta. But because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was publishing so prolifically, every day he would print a newspaper called Nadia Prakash in Bengali and have his disciples distribute it. And every week, he would produce a pamphlet called the Gaudiya and distribute that. And every month, in English and Sanskrit, he would produce Sajana Toshini, or the Harmonist. So his printing was so prolific that this Vishva Vaishnav Raja Sangha eventually got renamed as the Gaudiya Math, because the Gaudiya Patrika was very popular. So this Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he initiated many, many disciples, and amongst them He made 18 sannyasis, and he sent those sannyasis all over India to establish 64 mutts of Gaudiya Mutt. The mutt in Calcutta was the template. Just like we have here our ISKCON template, we know that every day, Mangal Arati, Japa, Srimad Bhagavatam class, Prasadam, Seva, then in the evening time we have our evening program. This goes on in every single temple of ISKCON. So the same activities that we're doing came from the template that was established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He was very careful to train all of his disciples in all the Vedic literatures, and he also had them preach. He had them go out and do book distribution, just as we're doing. So Srila Prabhupada, he took all of the tenets that were given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and reestablished them worldwide eventually. Now, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was very interested in preaching outside of India. So he sent three of his followers to England, and they were able to do something. The Chancellor of India, he inaugurated, along with the three devotees, the first Gaudiya Mutt in London. It didn't have too much effect. Nobody actually became a Vaishnava there in full force. Then his disciple Sannyasi went to Berlin. There he was able to convince two gentlemen, to take up Vaishnavism. And then he came back with these two gentlemen. And it wasn't that much of a success. He never went back again to reestablish, to cultivate these two centers. Instead, he started a college over here, the Institute of Oriental Philosophy, which has now become a technical college, a management college, an engineering college. So what his attempts were, although they were lofty, got lost in the passage of time. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he still had high hopes. In his last address to the public in 1936, thousands of his disciples came to Champahati in Bengal, and he spoke there. He said that, "I have a prediction that sometime in the future, whenever that will be, one of my disciples will cross the ocean and he will bring back the entire world to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So we all know who that was, who that is. It took some time. In 1922, Srila Prabhupada met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati for the first time in Calcutta. His friends, he was the leader amongst his friends, Hukam Chalega, it means wherever he went, they followed him. So some of his friends, his name was Narendranath Malik. One night he said, "There's a sadhu in Calcutta, let's go hear him." And Srila Prabhupada, because his father was a great devotee, he used to invite sadhus to his house all the time. Prabhupada saw them, and he wasn't very impressed with so-called sadhus. He said, "No, you can go. I've already seen enough sadhus." But they insisted, because without Prabhupada's stamp of approval, they couldn't actually accept Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati as a true sadhu. So Prabhupada and his friends went to the Gaudiya Mutt, and as soon as they entered, according to etiquette, they offered their obeisances. When they sat up, immediately Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati began preaching to them. He told them, "You are all educated young men, and you should preach this Chaitanya cult in the English language." Now this made a very deep effect on Srila Prabhupada, being himself highly educated, so-called, but nothing in front of his spiritual master. He started to argue with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, so long as we are dependent, a dependent nation, no one will listen to our message. And there was a rapport between the two. Finally, he was defeated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he was very satisfied to be defeated by him. And he thought in his mind that the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has finally come into the right hands. So he was always remembering Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Just at the same time he was sent, because he was a family man, he was sent to Allahabad to open up the chemical business there. He opened up Prayag Pharmacy. And in 1928, there was a Kumbh Mela, just like we're having now. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sent some of his disciples to Allahabad to establish a Gaudiya Math there. And when they reached Allahabad, they were told by the other Bengalis that there's one very, very nice devotee, a gentleman. His name is Abhay Babu. You go to him and certainly he will help you. So they came to Abhay Babu, and when Abhay saw these Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he said, oh, they're coming from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he did everything he could to assist them to open up the Gaudiya Math. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati finally initiated Srila Prabhupada in Allahabad, Prabhupada was still a grihastha, but he very much wanted to do service for his Guru Maharaj. Now time went by, he was entangled, he had five children, he had a business to run, but he always tried to assist the Gaudiya Math wherever he was, whether it was Bombay, Lucknow, Allahabad, Calcutta. Everywhere he met the devotees and he tried to assist. Finally, in 1936, as Prabhupada explained, when one is reluctant to give up everything to Krishna and become a full-time devotee, Krishna helps that devotee by taking everything away from him. So that's what happened to Srila Prabhupada. His family life disintegrated. His business was a failure. And he kept getting reoccurring dreams that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was calling him, that you come. And these dreams actually horrified Prabhupada. He said, how can I live as a sannyasi? I'm a family man. So finally in 1936, he wrote to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and asked him for some service. He said, I cannot give my full time to you because I'm not a sannyasi, I'm just a grihastha. So you please give me some service I can do at your lotus feet. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote back to him that I want you to preach in English this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That will benefit you and will benefit everyone who you meet. So this became the final, it was just a fortnight before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left this world that this letter was received by Prabhupada. And this became the life mission of Srila Prabhupada to carry out this final instruction. So December 31st, 1936, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left this world, that is the Tirubhav. He was only 62 years old. In that time, he was able to make a solid foundation of Gaudiya Vaishnavism here in India, and eventually, by the inspiration of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada took these teachings first to New York City, then all over America, then all over Europe, and eventually five continents of the world all heard the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. So, time now is... There's time? Okay. Now, what Prabhupada did was, he carried on the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati by taking his innovative ideas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he employed what's called Yukta Vairagya in his preaching. He did not stay within the limits of what ordinary sannyasis would do. But because he was a Paramahansa, he saw everything, all of Krishna's energy, as a way to utilize for preaching Krishna consciousness. One thing that he did was he started dioramas. Dioramas are the depiction of the Lord's pastimes in doll form. And these dolls, he would set up these exhibitions, and the Bengali gentlemen really liked this a lot, so they would give a lot of contributions so that these exhibitions could be brought all over. And some of these dolls were even animated, like robots. So this was the innovation of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So Prabhupada, when he came to America, by around 1972, he wanted to start this also. So he took some of his best artists and he sent them here to Bengal to learn the art of doll making. Now, it would seem like a funny thing for a sannyasi to do, to have his disciples learn doll making, but he saw this as very important. So the disciples, there were about five of them, Grihastha couples, they learned the art of doll making. They came here also, and then Prabhupada sent them back to make the first American theistic exhibition, which is a big museum in our Los Angeles temples that shows all of the pastimes of the Lord in moving form, and also, I've never seen it, but I hear that it's very impressive. So Prabhupada also, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati instructed him that if you ever get money, print books. So Prabhupada, before he even went to America, he wanted to be armed with books. That was all he took to America. He just had one bag of his personal belongings, and he had three trunks of Srimad Bhagavatam to distribute. So Prabhupada, he took all of these initiatives of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and incorporated them into the offshoot of the Gaudiya Math, which is now the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And through this process of Yukta Vairagya, he was able to transform the most fallen and the most intelligent into Vaishnavas. Now, how he did this was, the first sannyasis who were sent by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they only aimed for the intelligentsia, the most high class of people. They considered it below their dignity to go for the common men. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at the time of Gandhi, he had 10 questions. And one of his main questions was that, what is this untouchability? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said that real untouchability is anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord. They are untouchable. It has nothing to do with birth or caste or activities. It has to do with the goon of the person, whether or not they are devotees. So he said that actually, what Gandhi was asking was on a secular level. But on a spiritual level, there's no such thing as untouchability. Everyone should be permitted to worship the Supreme Lord, no matter what their birth is. So he took this to the ultimate. In his temples, for the first time, he accepted not only Brahmin disciples, but also the common folk, the villagers. Anyone who was interested in taking up Krishna consciousness, he accepted them. And this was absolutely tantamount, unacceptable to the brahmanas, the smarta brahmanas. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came here, he also began the Brajamandal Parikrama. The temples closed the doors and wouldn't allow them into the temples because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had this philosophy that anyone could become a Vaishnava. Eventually, the first temple that opened their doors was Radharaman, that was the father of Vishwambhar Goswami's father. And since that time, Radharaman has always been very helpful, all the Goswamis, and accepting of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now all the temples open their doors. Even the Rangaji temple now, previously we weren't allowed there. Now they're allowing the Western devotees to enter. So the ideas that Srila Prabhupada had, they were coming from his spiritual master. And he learned how to integrate them for the people of the Western world who were the most fallen. As Prabhupada wrote when he first came to America, he said, "I don't know why you have brought me to this degraded place where the people are so covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. But if you want me to dance, then make me dance, make me dance, make me dance." So Srila Prabhupada, about 20 years after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left this world, he was feeling great remorse. Could you let me, do you have a wristwatch I could keep so I know the time? Do you have a clock? Thank you. He was feeling great remorse, and he saw, just because his godbrothers were not following the final instructions and will of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. As soon as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left the world, the whole Gaudiya Math began to splinter. And each sannyasi, each leader, they took their own temple and made that their little kingdom. There was no cohesive preaching going on within Gaudiya Math. So Prabhupada was so despondent about this. He wrote a beautiful poem called Viraha, which means separation or lamentation. Ashta Ashtakam. That means there was an Ashtakam, eight stanzas. And with each stanza of the eight, there were eight more stanzas. It's a very long poem, Viraha Ashta Ashtakam. And in this, in Bengali, because when writing poetry, you want to pour out your heart. So Prabhupada poured out his heart at this time, Prabhupada's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disappearance day, that if only all of my godbrothers would follow the instructions as given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then truly we could turn this whole world into the spiritual world by spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was his fervent prayer. He prayed to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati at this time that you please come again and you please reestablish the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Srila Prabhupada went to America and established ISKCON, the first lecture that he gave about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was in 1968 at his world headquarters in Los Angeles. And he described that, "I see you," he was speaking to his disciples. He said that all of you are representative of my spiritual master. And he has sent you all to help me carry out his orders. So this is how Srila Prabhupada saw his own disciples. His only hope was to carry on the mission of his spiritual master as he had given it. Therefore, he set up the GBC. He set up all of the temples around the world as his spiritual master wanted. And he tried as much as possible to carry on exactly as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati instructed, how we should preach Krishna consciousness. So each one of us, we should consider ourselves most fortunate to just be a piece of dust at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and in some way or other, try to carry on the instructions that he was given by his spiritual master to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.